Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
It's a glorious night that we gather for this graduation of the Catechetical Institute. We come before the Lord in this Easter season, renewed in great hope and joy. So let us take a moment in our lives to open our hearts to God's grace and mercy. We pray, I confess to Almighty God,
and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sin, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
At all times, the fruit produced by the Paschal observances through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Acts. We set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Samothrace, and in the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia and the Roman colony. We spent some time in that city. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate along the river, where we thought there would be a place for prayer. We sat and spoke with the women who had gathered there. One of them, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Troasia, a worshiper of God, listened to the Lord, opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and her household had been baptized, she offered us an invitation, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed on us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rejoice in their King.
The Lord.
them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory. The of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Alleluia. The Lord takes delight in his
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
I think it's very appropriate for this reading from the gospel tonight. So when they kill you, they think they will be worshiping God. Are you ready to go out to the wolves? That's what you've been trained for. The advocate of truth, the one who is there, the promise, the Holy Spirit, to go forth into the world. And as we make this turn in the Easter season, we have spent weeks on an interior renewal, individually, of recognizing the risen Lord, encountering the risen Lord. And yesterday we kind of took that turn into a communal aspect of the Easter season. That it's not individually that we live our faith, but it's collectively. We live it in community. We live it with one another. So better yet to remember yesterday's reading, when they ask you what is your source of hope, explain to them with gentleness and reverence. Do you all have hope? Good, because you don't look like it. Must be that hour of the day, right, where it's like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm tired. But the great hope is what you have been trained for, what you've been studying. And the Catechetical Institute is now giving you the tools that you will need to work in community. It doesn't mean that you can just put this on the shelf and say, okay, I've done this, now I can just live my life. No, it's a calling. It's a calling to go out. As Paul encountered Lydia and a group praying by the river, and Paul's companions sat down with them and taught them. Now, when you're in the supermarket and you're in line, are you going to meet somebody and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Probably not. But if you say, hey, how are you? How are you doing today? Isn't it a beautiful day? They're going to look at you and say, what's your source of hope? Then you make that introduction, right? I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got Jesus in my life. And the Easter fruits, the Paschal fruits that we heard in the opening prayer today, is to bring hope into other people's lives. To bring love into other people's lives. To recognize other people. Even those who are very different from us, to sit down at the river and talk with them. And Lydia was a great example that once she and her companions were baptized, her household, what did she do? She invited Paul and his companions into her house to live there. So is your household ready to receive who you bring home? Is your household ready to receive what you have? Or are they like, oh no, now what are we going to have to deal with, right? Because once somebody is moved, once somebody is set on fire, once somebody is excited, and it's different than who they were before, what we were as a household before, it changes the dynamics. And it takes time. With gentleness and reverence, that you bring that sense of hope. And I'm sure your families, your households have been going through this with you as you've been through the studies. When you say, hey, did you know? And they're like, not again. But you're bringing hope into your households, into your communities, into your neighborhoods, into your parishes. And that is what I always hoped over the years with the Catechetical Institute. So many parishioners were in the Catechetical Institute, graduated, and I look at them and say, okay, now what are you going to do? How are you going to help us? What do you mean? Well, you went through all this training. How are you going to put it into practice? How are you going to get involved in the parish? No, that wasn't my plan. Well, it's my plan. Now you're going to do that, right? We're going to see what you learned and put it into practice. Because we don't want it wasted. It's a gift. It's a gift that you received. To receive the call, to answer the call, the interest, the hunger. And now you're going to only want to have more hunger because you want to learn more. You want to put this into practice. You want to go out into the world with the fear of death, because when they insult you, when they look at you that you're crazy, you're going to appreciate that because Jesus says, remember the words I told you. It's not easy, but it's fruitful. It's beautiful. It's joyful. Bringing the message of Jesus Christ with us into our lives. into the world, a world today that is hungering for something that they can grab a hold to. And you and I know that the institution of the church for over 2,000 years, but the mystery of the Eucharist that draws us in together as a community around a table to feed on Jesus Christ and to take, having taken in the Word, that we no longer can just sit and let the Word go in one ear and out the other. It takes hold within us. And then to receive the Eucharist, we recognize the nourishment it gives to us in the gift. And so as we await the celebration of Pentecost, the promise of the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, who continues, as Jesus said, He will remind you of all that I have taught you, but will teach you even greater things. Be open. Be open to what the weeks, the months, the years ahead have for you. Because you've received a gift. Continue to open that gift. Continue to explore the gift. Continue to live into that gift. And if death comes, praise the Lord, we need more martyrs and saints in the world today, don't we? No, but what we need, don't let it kill your spirit. Let it enliven your spirit to continue to know Jesus Christ, to grow in love with Jesus Christ, because it takes a lifetime until that day we meet Jesus face to face when we will recognize, aha, you are the one that I served on the street. Aha, you are the one we welcomed into our home. Aha, you are the one who I chased away that one day. Aha, you are the one. You are the one. Because now you can understand what yesterday's reading, gospel reading, was all about. If you love me, you love the Father. The Father in me, I in you, you in me. I mean, look at all that. That's confusing, right? But yet it's revealed to us. And so as we live into that, that is the gift of revelation. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of who each and every one of us is. And it is revealed to us in many, many different ways. And in those different ways, then, we will be called to serve. We will be invited to leave our comfort zones and put into practice what has been given to us. And so that is why we celebrate you today. We celebrate the great gift of your yes into this. Your intrigue and hunger in life to know more. And let that continue. So that, yes, when you go out and stretch your boundary zones, that you can enter into conversation with gentleness and reverence with others who might not agree, who might ask your sense of hope, who might have very different views in different religions and faiths. But you can share with them the great gift that we have in Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and allow them to take that in, to be nourished in a gentle and reverent way that will then plant the seed in so many, so many different ways in today's world, and allow the Holy Spirit then to let that grow as you allowed the Holy Spirit to allow the seed to grow within you. Turn to our loving God, who always listens to our prayers and our petitions.
For Pope Leo, Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Kenny, and Bishop Eisen, and all who shepherd us, that they may have the strength to govern wisely the flock that is entrusted to them by the Good Shepherd. Let us pray to the Lord. For the whole world, for an end to conflict and violence, and that it may truly know the peace that is given by Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our brothers and sisters who suffer in any way, that their sorrow may be turned into the gladness which no one can take from them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our current and future students of the Catechetical Institute, especially for the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe, that they may bear witness with great confidence and joy to the resurrection of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all who have died, especially for family members, friends, benefactors, that they may come into the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Loving God, hear the prayers that we bring to you this day. Knowing that you grant what we ask for in faith, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
brothers and sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Receive, O Lord, we pray these offerings of your exultant church, as you have given her cause for such great gladness. Grant also that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but at this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying, he destroyed our death. By rising, restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. We pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread. He took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Once more, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Story of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you always.
And with your spirit.
And let us share a sign of Christ's peace with one another.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you. Alleluia. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you. Alleluia."
Let us pray. Look with kindness upon your people, O Lord, and grant, we pray, that those who are pleased to renew by eternal mysteries may obtain in their flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I know we'll have our graduation immediately following the Mass today, but just wanted to thank our musicians and choir who sang so beautifully with us and for us tonight. Thank the plethora of servers that we had. The majority of them will be graduating tonight as well. And the brother priests who are here with us and deacons serving as well. So don't leave when we say go in peace, okay? Stay for the wonderful, wonderful graduation that will take place immediately following. As I heard, some of you were nudging us to keep this moving tonight because something else is happening this evening. But I think this is more important. So it's the sacrifices we make for the Lord, right? Amen for that. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Your Excellency, graduates, guests, on behalf of the St. Paul Seminary Catechetical Institute, welcome to the graduation ceremony of the 17th graduating class, the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe. My name is Kelly Walquist. I am the director of the Catechetical Institute. And at this time, I would like to invite Jeff Cavins, the director emeritus of the Institute, to come forward and say a few words.
Good evening.
Good evening.
On behalf of a lot of the men and women who are fans tonight, they've asked if you know the score, please don't blurt it out. But it's a privilege to be with you this evening. And it's a privilege to share just a few words of encouragement with you based on Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian Kolbe, a tremendous man. Very fruitful in his ministry, and I'm sure that you're going to be fruitful as well. It's a privilege to be with bishop, and holy priests, and deacons, wonderful religious, and fantastic seminarians who are here with us this evening. It was just about 3 months ago, I went to Nashville to do some work. I brought my daughter with me. We had some free time, so we ended up getting an Uber, and we were traveling around Nashville, and I did what Bishop said. I struck up a conversation with the driver, started to ask him some questions, and found out he was a longtime producer in Nashville. He doesn't do it anymore, and he said times have changed quite a bit with technology and so forth, and I said, yeah. I said, you know, I'm from the music of the 70s. And that was the greatest music of all. And I said, you could hear him sing. They played the instruments. And he made a comment to me, and he said, yeah, I agree. It was a tad off perfect. And I got to thinking about that, and in the back seat, I wrote it down real quick, a tad off perfect. There was room for humanity. There's room for some airs there. But, wow, was it good music. And I'd like to carry that theme on to talk a little bit about Maximilian Kolbe. You're going to be formed and continue to be formed in the faith, and it's not over. We're going to go out into the world now, and we're all a little tad off perfect, and that's okay. But we're going to be meeting people who will be happy to meet up with holy people who are a tad off perfect. We're going to go out and we're going to share the good news and the mercy of God. And as the Catechism says in the very first paragraph, the sheer goodness of this plan that he has for us. In the gospel, Jesus had a habit of meeting with people that the Pharisees didn't approve of. He had dinner with people. He met with people that they thought was questionable. And they even questioned his orthodoxy based on his choices of where he went to talk to people. They were decidedly against him when he met at a table with people who were unlike themselves. And we're going to be going out and talking to people who are unlike ourselves. But Jesus said something there. He said this. He said these words to the Pharisees. Go and learn the meaning of these words. I desire mercy rather than sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And that brings me to Maximilian Kolbe. Maximilian Kolbe, a saint of saints, was an incredible man from Poland. You know that by now. And he, too, had a habit of sharing his life with people who were not exactly like him. And it really came to a crescendo in Auschwitz when he was arrested and brought to Auschwitz. He was a man who went beyond sharing a table. He shared his life, his very life. He gave it away for another man. St. Maximilian Kolbe demonstrated mercy. It's interesting that if you've ever been to Poland, you'll notice that in a small area, there's a lot of different saints. Edith Stein, St. John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Sister Faustina. But what's really interesting about St. Maximilian Kolbe and Sister Faustina, who talks about divine mercy, is they never met, but their lives overlapped for 33 years. I'm not thinking that it's necessarily mystical, but I find it very interesting. 33 years, they were walking the same country, doing their work, and both became saints. Allow me to mention a serious problem that arises when we speak of mercy. Our worldview, our philosophy, and our sense of decency limits mercy in our daily life. Mercy is not for all. Mercy is for those we think deserve it, that they deserve God's mercy or our mercy. But here is the problem. None of us deserved mercy, as Sister Faustina talks about in St. Maximilian Kolbe. But we all need it, but no one deserves it. God's love triumphs over any sense of entitlement to mercy or denial of it. Mercy is 100% love and gift. And there is no one outside of the scope of God's mercy. No one. And that brings me to the one man I'd like to talk to you about this evening, just for a few minutes. The one man who received God's mercy but didn't make people happy at all. And I'll share with you some of the writings of K.V. Turley, a U.K. correspondent of the National Catholic Register. He wrote a fine article about today's topic, mercy, which originally appeared in the paper in 2019. Again, divine mercy is rich, but we don't always want people to experience the wealth of God's mercy. And Kolbe possessed that want, and he died for that want. I've been to Dachau, the hideous concentration camp in Germany. I've also been to Auschwitz in Poland. Auschwitz, while empty today, still speaks loudly about the atrocities and just how wicked the human heart can be, how depraved and how complicit with Satan men and women can become. But it was at Auschwitz that the grace and the mercy of God were offered to the one man who was responsible for nearly 3 million painful deaths at Auschwitz. The man in charge, Rudolf Haas, the commandant of Auschwitz. St. Maximilian Kolbe was sent to Auschwitz on May 28, 1941. He wasn't known as a holy man. He was known as a number, number 16670. It was only 2 months later, after a prisoner escaped in July of 41, that the Nazis selected 10 men to die by starvation in retaliation. And when a man with the last name that's hard to pronounce cried out in anguish for his wife and children, saying he would never see them again, Kolbe stepped forward in front of Block 14, now named 19. He stepped forward and asked to take his place and to show mercy on this man. The commandant accepted. Kolbe was placed in the starvation bunker, where he led prayers and hymns with the condemned man. He was placed in the basement of building Block 11, known as the Death Block, and he died on August 14, 1941, after a lethal injection. Now to Rudolf Haas, the commandant of death. Rudolf Haas was born into a devout German Catholic family. World War I followed an unhappy childhood, and at the age of 17 years, Haas served in the German Imperial Army as a non-commissioned officer. In the national chaos that followed his country's defeat, Haas returned home, and soon he was involved with right-wing paramilitary groups. It was in Munich in March of 22 that his life was changed forever, for it was then that he heard the voice of a prophet calling him once more to the cause of the fatherland. It was a decisive moment for the future commandant of Auschwitz, as the voice that transfixed him was none other than Adolf Hitler. It was also the moment when the 21-year-old Haas renounced his Catholic faith. From that moment on, Haas's path was clear. There followed his involvement in a Nazi-inspired murder, and then imprisoned before his eventual release in 28 as part of a general amnesty for prisoners. And thereafter, he became acquainted with the head of the SS, Heinrich Himmler. And soon, Haas was part of Hitler's extermination camps. Another world war brought the eventual destruction of the fatherland. A botched escape attempt from the advancing Allies brought Haas to a court at Nuremberg to face charges of perpetrating war crimes. He said, "I commanded Auschwitz until the 1st of December of 1943, and estimate that at least 2.5 up to 3 million victims were executed and exterminated there by gassing and burning, and at least another 500,000 succumbed to a starvation or disease, making a total of 3 million. Haas admitted to his captors. The verdict was never in doubt, neither was the penalty. In that same courtroom, the 45-year-old Haas was sentenced to death by hanging. The day after the verdict, former inmates of Auschwitz petitioned the court that Haas' execution take place on the grounds of the former death camp, Auschwitz. Somewhere buried under the debris of his years, worshiping a false prophet, there remained the fact of his baptism, his Catholic upbringing, and some say his early desire to be a priest. Whether it was the residue of these things or simply fear, Haas, knowing he was about to die, asked to see a priest. His captors struggled to find one. Desperate, Haas remembered a name, Father Lohn. This Polish Jesuit was the sole survivor of a Jesuit community that had perished in Auschwitz earlier under Haas. The Gestapo had arrested the Krakow Jesuit and sent them to Auschwitz, and the Jesuit superior, Father Lohn, on discovering what had happened, went to the camp himself to free his brother priests. He was brought before the commandant. The priest was subsequently allowed to depart unharmed. It impressed Haas. And now that his execution approached, Haas asked his captors to find that priest. In the end, and just in time, they found him. On April 10th, 1947, Father Lohn heard Haas's confession. And the next day, the Friday of Easter week, the condemned man received Holy Communion. The following day, the prisoner wrote to his wife, "Based on my present knowledge, I can see today clearly, severely, and bitterly for me that the entire ideology about the world in which I believed was so firmly and unswervingly based on completely wrong premises. And so my actions in the service of this ideology were completely wrong. My turning away from my belief in God was based on completely wrong premises. It was a hard struggle, but I have again found my faith in my God." And on the morning of April 16th, the 47 military guards stood around Auschwitz as Haas arrived. He was taken to the building that once had been the commandant's office. And there he asked for and was given a cup of coffee. Having drunk it, he was led to a cell in Block 11, the death block, the same block in which Maximilian Kolbe died. And here, Haas was to wait. 2 hours later, he was led from Block 11. His captors noticed how calm the handcuffed prisoner was as he walked briskly through the camp to the waiting gallows. The executioners had to help Haas climb onto the stool placed above the gallows trapdoor. The sentence was read out loud as the hangman placed a noose around the neck of the condemned man who, at this sight, had ordered the death of so many others. And then as silence fell, the hangman stood back and removed the stool. After his death, a letter written by Haas was published in Polish newspapers, and it read thus, "In the solitude of my prison cell, I have come to the bitter recognition. I caused unspeakable suffering, but the Lord God forgave me." This is one of the greatest yet troubling examples of God's mercy, and I must say, as graduates of the St. Maximilian Kolbe class, if you struggle with this, then you have to go further to understand God's mercy. If you are in need of God's mercy, as the people you're going to be meeting, as Bishop Kenny mentioned, then you are going to have to understand the mercy of God. Rudolf Haas became the recipient of God's mercy just miles from the Divine Mercy Shrine in Krakow. I encourage you today to meditate on God's divine mercy and what St. Maximilian Kolbe did. And here's the takeaway. St. Maximilian Kolbe wasn't perfect, nor was Haas, but the same mercy that God led them into brought them into perfection. And we know that Kolbe was, like us, a tad off perfect. But due to his sacrifice, he no longer is a tad off perfect. He is perfect as the Lord is perfect. He is a saint. And for Rudolf Haas, according to church teaching, we can only assume he too has been perfected in the presence of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. We have found that every student in every class has their own story of how Christ's mercy has transformed their lives in the last 2 years at the CI. And so tonight, I want to invite two of your classmates up to share their experience with you. First, Dan Patnone.
Hello, my name is Dan Patnode. I participated in the program at St. Michael's Catholic Church in St. Michael, Minnesota. I'm married to my wife, Pam, who is one of our instructors. We have five wonderful children, three equally wonderful children-in-law, and five grandchildren. Pam and I have been members at Holy Name of Jesus Church in Medina for 35-plus years. To begin tonight, I want to thank the many people that make this program a reality. First, to Kelly and all her staff at Catechetical Institute, all of our site coordinators, and the wonderful instructors that we had all the 2 years long. I also like to thank St. Pius X and Father TJ for hosting our formation sessions here, welcoming many of us to Saturday morning Mass, and Father TJ even spoke directly to us many times, and for hosting this event tonight. I'm a cradle Catholic, attended Catholic grade school, was an altar server in my teen years through my young adult years, and attended Mass weekly with my family. Despite this, I did not feel that I knew or understood much about the Catholic faith. Once married, my wife and I began participating in some parish and archdiocesan programs to learn more about the faith. My wife's amazing. She dove into learning about the faith in many, many ways. And she'd bring it home to my wife, or my children and myself, and share it with a contagious joy. Finally, about 10, 15 years ago, I began learning more about the Catholic faith. Started with daily prayer, and then I started joining some parish faith learning activities. Excuse me. What I found as I talked to other parishioners that had been in the program, they all spoke fairly highly of this program. Being self-conscious about my lack of knowledge, it took me many years before I signed up. How grateful I am that I finally took the step to join the Catechetical Institute. As I reflect on these past 2 years of reading the catechism, small faith groups sharing, and listening to our wonderful speakers, I feel blessed to have learned so much about the faith. What I didn't expect was how valuable the small group experience would be. I began very reserved due to my self-conscious concerns of saying something wrong. However, through the love and support of the small groups, I felt encouraged to participate by sharing my thoughts, my questions, and my faith stories. This truly blessed me. Today we're graduating from the Pillars program. For me, it feels like a child learning to ride a bike. The training wheels are coming off, and we're asked to continue to ride, continue to learn, continue to explore all that our faith has to offer. At the same time, I'm humbled about how little I still know about the abundant treasures that our church has. At the same time, I'm no longer overwhelmed by this, as I know God loves me where I'm at, and I trust in his plan and timing for me as my relationship with him grows, and he ultimately reveals to me his will one step at a time. Throughout the program, we've been invited by many instructors to use what we've learned to serve the church. We even learned tonight from Bishop Kenny, how are we going to use what we've learned in this program? In December, last couple years, I've been discerning the permanent diaconate. I was accepted into the program in December, into the formation program, and began in February. I'm very excited to be in this phase of my faith journey, and I look forward to seeing what God has planned for me. So as we graduate tonight, the training wheels come off, but the ride continues. With prayer, continued learning, service, and growth, St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Last module, Alyssa Bormes shared with me a reflection paper, and the paper was such a beautiful testimony that I asked the author, Michelle Mankey, to share it with you tonight. Michelle? Hello. We did it. 2 years. We did it. Happy to be here. I'm just going to read the paper. My life's work as a Catholic school educator and as a mom has been strengthened and stretched each week by immersion in studying the Beatitudes. Each week I've seen parallels that illustrate unique qualities of refining my faith at the Catechetical Institute with our Minnesota mining industry. Yes, I have great faith. Like the great stores of iron buried beneath the surface of our state, there it was from the beginning. I was given that faith in God and by God as a child. It was pointed out and treasured by my devout and devoted parents who taught me to cherish that precious gift of faith. I understand that the trauma and the drama that shaped my childhood was necessary in God's plan, because suffering was the gift that hammered at that huge cache of raw faith. Stone by stone, whack by whack, shoveled out of the darkness of the earth, my belief piled up, exposed to the world. Hiding the massive strip mine was not an option, and the suffering was not over. Next came the crushing and the grinding of raw rock of faith into powder, separating and mixing with clay, and finally the endless, slow roasting fire of baking. End product, or so I thought, a mountain of spiritual taconite. My low-grade iron-bearing vein of faith had been transformed into high-grade iron ore pellets. And that's it. The summation of my youth, the fruit of all my pain. Now, as a teacher of second graders, I lead children through the Bible, the rosary, and the sacraments each year. I live right in that faith. I don't stray from my precious, hard-earned taconite pile. And isn't it funny how God's plan is so much bigger than I can see it? I see glimmers of sparkles of light glittering off the metal in my taconite mountain treasure, and I'm pleased with that. I protect and guard my faith pile. But God sees more. He sees potential. He sees a future of strength in steel bridges that could give safe passage to souls in wild rushing waters. If only my treasure is shipped off and dumped into the fiery furnace that is a refinery. Well, you and all the people here at the Catechetical Institute have been one such refinery for me. I'm ashamed to say how much I resisted the heat and flames of God's grace here. My daughter Stella pleaded with me to feed her faith. My principal persisted, my priest paid, and Stella prayed. So despite the fact that I have 7 children, a few special needs sprinkled in here and there, a full-time career, and I had recently just finished chemo and radiation cancer treatment,
I signed my scant minutes of free time away for a 2-year stint. That's 2 hours a week plus drive time, reading time, paper writing, homework, and Saturdays. But I'd give up anything for Stella. For her, I jumped into the burning furnace of losing my scarce, tiny bit of time. But the bridges God builds are fantastic. Every stretch, every burn, he uses to create something new. Sometimes he lets me glimpse the miraculous. A new understanding of the nature of the Bible by Deacon Mihalik was exactly what I needed to turn a dear friend back toward the sacraments. I get an hour with a seminarian each week whose zeal is contagious. His knowledge transforms myself, my family, and my students. Our small group members have exactly the insight that I need. Even their career backgrounds seemed aligned to the perspectives God wants me to know about. I see God's work and planning at every turn. Deacon Gannon answered a personal question at the end of class that shed light on a spiritual truth that I've struggled with for years. Alyssa Bormes inspires because she's both a Catholic teacher and an author, lit up by candid humor. Jeff Cavins lives a life of evangelization through publishing, which is where I think God wants my bridge to go. I've watched my Stella grow in her faith, expand, strengthen, and refine her faith into that of an adult. This itself is the absolute fulfillment of my mothering heart's hopes and dreams for all my children. So thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for being a faithful refinery furnace. Now, let's dive into prayer and see what God does next. God bless you all.
Thank you, Michelle. I think she got an A on that paper. That was pretty good. The class of St. Maximin Kolbe was held here at St. Pius X, and we want to thank Father T.J. McKenzie and the staff for their amazing generosity and hospitality. Each satellite site has a class coordinator who oversaw the many details at their location, and these class coordinators generously serve for the course. The Catechetical Institute would like to recognize these wonderful coordinators. When I call your name, will you please stand up, and then you will see them coming up and calling the student's name. Laura Haraldson, where is she? She's always so busy. Laura, oh, there she is, good. Laura did so much here at St. Pius, so thank you, Laura. Laura is a graduate of the class of St. Michael the Archangel. Elke Wieland is, there she is. She is a class coordinator at St. Anne's in Hamel, and she will graduate tonight. And Bob Swift is the coordinator at St. Michael in St. Michael. And in the Diocese of St. Cloud, we have Victoria Bulcher, who is a graduate of the class of St. Anthony. And she is the coordinator for Mary, Mother of the Church Area Catholic Community. So thank you all so much for giving it your time, talent, these last 2 years. Thank you. And at this time, I would like to invite Bishop Kenny to join me as we hand out the certificates and Laura to come to the podium.
Class of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Pius X campus. Deborah Andrews. Virginia Arkend. Mark Balzerini. Aravind Bantu. Jack Bozier. William Brintz. Amy Buckman Ballin. John Ballin. Denise Chaudhary. Satvir Chaudhary. Matthew Collins. Odilian Kuat Briones. Juan Cusco. Johnson Doss. Mu D. James Dimitrovich. Charles Dries. John Ficadenti. Kimberly Ficadenti. Kathleen Finn. Rodrigo Flores. Alexander Gilliam. Debbie Goal. Diane Gromek. Terrence Gromek. Joan Guider. Benjamin Hansman. Douglas Hansman. Jane Hansman. William Heller. Carl Johnson. Elizabeth Casper. Todd Keyes. Harry Clems. Kevin Clems. Harold Knecht. Patty Knecht. Kathy Corby. Justin Costeca. Deborah Laval. Mary LeMay. Russell Lind. Karen Lamoro. Molly Louis-May. Michelle Mankey. Stella Mankey. Mary Marker. Tony Markert. William McCarthy. Reese McKenzie. Anne Moore. Richard Moore. Mark Mosier. Ryan Mullen. Lori Munns. Mark Munns. Michelle Noggle. Richard O'Brien. Todd O'Connor. Linda Lale Olson. Nicole Panic. Timothy Panic. Nay Palmaria. Dorothy Saw. Marianne Ricci. Tamara Richardson. Nicholas Ryan. Mary Sherping. Eric Chimnowski. Sophia Chimnowski. Gregory Schmidt. Vicky Schieffer. Lindsay Schellenberger. Rebecca Sanko. Kyle Snodgrass. Colleen Sorensen. John Sorensen. Amy Strong. Bruce Stunkert. Barbara Spalinkovich. Paul Tento. Roger Thine. Jamie Tucker. Steve Tucker. Luke Chung. Mary Wallace. Joe Wanabo. Constance White. Jerry White. Heather Wilgenbush. James Wilgenbush. Eric Willard. Patricia Wise. Ross Yates. Robert T. York. Jason Yost. Next, I'm honored to introduce the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Anne's in Hamel campus. Roger Cruz. Paul B. Go. Matt Politsky. Tracy Ingham. James Shillette. Marge Shillette. Elko Weiland. Mike Weiland. At this time, I would like to welcome up Coordinator Bob Swift to come up to read the names for the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Michael, and St. Michael campus.
The class of St. Maximilian Kolbe graduates from the Church of St. Michael in St. Michael. Bruce Martin Dahlman. Leo Joseph Iden. Michelle Annette Kimberly Christine Fritz. Evan Philip Gamel. Mackenzie Rose Gamel. Jeffrey Stefan Kakrowski. Donald Joseph Leggett. Marie Louise Leggett. Celestine Kalubi Mbayamba. Brian Joseph Page. Daniel Charles Patnode. Timothy Carson Primus Berger. Benjamin Watson Roberg. J. Tina Elizabeth Rickert. Skip Gregory Rosnell. Frederick William Segler. Therese Marie Segler. Mary Beth Swift. Janelle Lynn Taylor. Jana Wepkowski. Joshua Allen Wepkowski. Jason Francis Zanetti. Jennifer Lynn Zanetti.
At this time, I would like to welcome up Victoria Bulcher as she comes to introduce the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Cloud Diocese Campuses, Mary, Mother of the Church Area Catholic Community.
The class of St. Maximilian Kolbe from Mary, Mother of the Church Area Catholic Community, from Staples and Bertha. Mary Murray. Vicki Olston Smith. Beanie Rogenkamp. Carol Rohr. Kelly Shotsko. Debbie Alve. Jesse Waldock.
At this time, I invite all of our graduates to stand. Ladies and gentlemen, the class of St. Maximilian Kolbe. You may be seated. On behalf of the faculty and staff of the Catechetical Institute, congratulations, class of St. Maximilian Kolbe. It has been an honor to serve your class, and we hope to see you again at the Catechetical Institute. May God continue to shower you with graces on this journey from blessing to blessing. After Bishop's final blessing, we ask that you stay in the church as we are going to take class pictures by satellite site. Kelly will direct you as to where to go, and then please join us in the gathering space for some refreshments afterwards. Thank you.
Dan. First of all, I'd like to thank Jeff Cavins for his words tonight and thank Kelly Walquist and your staff for your dedication to the Catechetical Institute. Let's give them a round of applause. Source of all wisdom and knowledge, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us and to proclaim his message of faith, hope, and love to all nations. In your goodness, bless our brothers and sisters who have offered themselves as catechists for your church. Strengthen them with your gifts that they may teach by word and example the truth which comes from you, We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And in Christ, God has revealed his love and truth. May he make you witnesses to the gospel and to divine love. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus promised to be with his church until the end of the world. May he give power to your actions and your words. Amen.
Amen.
And may the Spirit of the Lord be with you, so that you may help the ministers, so that you may help the ministers of his word. Amen.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Let us go in the peace and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated as we await you to be called to come forward.
I'm going to have the class from St. Pius. I'll have you come first. We'll see if we can get as many of you in one area. Christy will be taking the pictures. So if these three classes will remain seated just for a quick second. So come on up. You can bring your certificates, or you don't have to, and we'll take a picture with the bishop.
Yeah, dude.